All right, thank you very much. That was an awesome song. And I know several of you, as soon as I sat down up there, you thought, oh no, we got to hear from Brother Dave tonight. So make sure this is turned on. Anyway, I would like to thank Mr. Correa for preaching today. I'm sorry I missed your sermon. I was with Junior Church, but from what I understand, there was a lot of mention about food in the sermon. And so from what I could tell, he was hinting that he needed a gift card or something like that for preaching. So Brother Correa, come on up here. I got you something. And I heard that he really likes to go out to eat, but I really heard he really loves his wife's cooking. So also got you a gift card for Panera. So thanks for preaching today. I appreciate that. And I'll probably be getting a text message later on. Hey, Brother Dave, want to come eat some fried bologna? So, amen. But it's what a blessing it is to be a part of a church that allows you to take a break every now and then. And I was gone last week, as many of you know. And I was able to take a vacation, which was really nice. And I didn't go into the office, as Sharon will testify, the whole week that I was on vacation, even though I was in town part of it because some of my plans had changed. And I had told a few people, I was like, I'm on vacation, I'm not going to work. And I did do a little bit of work, but it was because it just had to be done. But anyway, I appreciate a church that can let you go out of town and take a few days off every now and then. And I know Preacher appreciates that. And I know my mom, she also appreciates that. If you guys could keep praying for her, her headaches haven't gotten any better. And she's going on about 2 months now where she just had an intense headache. And I personally don't do very well with pain. Most of my time, if I'm in about a 3-level pain, I start griping and complaining about it. So God's been really good to me where he doesn't give me pain very often. My mom lives with about a 6 to 7 rate of pain her whole life, ever since she was in a car wreck some 30 or 25 years ago, I believe it was. And she lives with that pain all the time. It's about a 6 to 7, but now she's added on to that a head pain. And it's very hard to imagine that she has it most of the time, because if you know her very well, you can tell, but most of the time you see her, she's always smiling, and there's a reason for that. And part of that reason is what I'm going to be preaching about tonight. So if you take your Bibles out and turn to Matthew chapter number 11, Matthew 11, and like I do say, I appreciate you guys letting Preacher go on a vacation, and he was hesitant to go, but I told him just to go. And he always obeys me, so he gets most of my messages from me, and no, just kidding. But I'm appreciative of you guys letting him take a couple days and just go out. They're going to be visiting Niagara Falls and just having a good time of relaxing. So Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, very familiar passage for most of you. Before we read it, though, I want to tell you a little bit about when I was a little kid. And when I was a little kid growing up, my dad taught me how to work. How many of you, your parents or a grandparent or someone close to you that was a mentor taught you how to work? I had that in my life. See a lot of hands out there. Most of the time, work isn't something that just comes naturally. Griping comes naturally. Complaining comes naturally. Being lazy, believe it or not, comes very natural. And work doesn't come naturally. Work isn't something that you just automatically think, I'm going to work. All right. Awesome. You know, when you're a little baby, you don't just automatically crawl around thinking, I'm going to work. No, that's not how it happens. And I've been here for 11 years now, and I've seen a lot of the babies that are now 11 years old, and most of them, they don't just automatically just grow up thinking, I'm going to work. And Matthew, you're a good example of that. When you were a little baby, you didn't just think, I'm just going to work. No, it was taught to you. Matthew's a good worker, and he helps every Wednesday night with working. But Matthew didn't just start working just for the fun of it. He was taught how to work. And, you know, each and every one of us that have a good work ethic in our life, we were taught that. And when I was a young man, I wouldn't even call it a young man. When I was a little boy, we'll go that far back, my dad was pastoring in Indiana. And I got to go to his office many times throughout the week. And my best friend Joe, which you guys have heard about him many times, I've told stories of how we got in trouble many times, how we were in the baptistry working, playing army. And the baptistry was, we were up there playing and I fell in and I got in trouble and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, my dad taught me how to work. Not necessarily that going to the church and playing in the baptistry was work, but he taught me that, you know, you can go to the church and have fun and work, and this is part of life. And as I got older and got more responsibilities when we were in Louisiana, every Saturday we would go to the church and we would get the mower out, we'd get the weed whacker out, and we'd mow the whole church. And there was about 2.5-3 acres at the church, and we had a real big ditch that just loved to grow weeds, and it had lots of snakes in it and fun stuff. And we'd take that weed whacker out, and we'd just zip it through the ditch and learned how to work. And a lot of that working was side-by-side with my dad. And a lot of the work that we do at our church is side-by-side with each other. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Sounds like a good verse, right? Sounds like we're tired, we're heavy laden, we're laboring, and now God's going to give us rest. But then it says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Tonight I do want to preach to you about taking on that yoke. And taking on that yoke does not imply rest. Taking on that yoke does not imply sleeping. How many of you like to sleep? I like to sleep, right? Taking on a yoke doesn't imply sleeping. When you hook a yoke of oxen up, that's not saying, okay, it's time to go to sleep. We're going to hook up this yoke. No, it's implying working here. And I was reading these verses, and it's a portion of verses that I've thought about a lot through my growing up years. And every time I read these verses and I think of them, I think of the fact that, you know, God's not commanding us here to sleep. He's not commanding us here that we're going to find rest by just throwing in the towel and giving up. That's not how we find the rest. What God is telling us here is that we are going to find rest by taking up God's yoke. And let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Lord, I thank you for the day that you gave us and the good sermons today and just the visitors that have come and just for the church that you've given to us, Lord. And I thank you for the churches all across the nation, all across the world, Lord, where your gospel was preached and people that heard how they could go to heaven. We thank you that you've given us that freedom here to do that. I ask that you would be at the service tonight, Lord, and speak to our hearts through your word, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. When we look at this idea of a yoke, we look at the idea of this yoke combining two animals. Now, the Bible right here is talking about the yoke combining with us. He's talking about combining the yoke that God has. Now, we're not animals. Most of us, we looked in the mirror today and we recognized that we're humans. So from now on, we're going to talk about this yoke being on humans here, okay? So we're not animals. We don't want to go there. But this yoke here that God gives us is a yoke of work with God. It's a yoke combining my life and God's life. It's a yoke that says we're going to pool our resources together and we're going to see if we can come up with a good job well done. That's what the yoke here is. The very first yoke that I can think about, the very first yoke that you actually come across with combining forces with God is the yoke of salvation. You see, there are many of us out here today that we know for sure we're going to heaven today. We know for sure that when we die, we'll go to heaven. The reason that we know that is because maybe as a young person, maybe as an older adult, but somewhere in your life, you've taken that yoke of salvation. You've said, God, I want to join with you. I want to put my trust in you to take me to heaven, and I want to join with you. And you've taken on that yoke of salvation. At salvation, we find that we're combined with God. We find that, you know what, the work that we do, the work that we're trying to do to get to heaven just can't cut it. And so we say, God, I want to put the yoke of salvation on, and I'm going to let you do the work, and I'm just going to tag along because the yoke combines us. That's what that yoke does. It's really awesome because when you think about the grace and the mercy that God gives us, we can never be good enough. We can never just do enough good things to get to heaven on our own. So we have to combine with God's goodness. We have to combine with Jesus Christ, his goodness, and we have to combine that yoke to get saved for that salvation. The yoke of salvation is the most important yoke that you'll ever put on. The yoke of salvation is the most important thing that you'll ever do in your life. I challenge you today, if you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven, take on that yoke of salvation. Because God says, all you have to do to go to heaven is put your trust in me. It's that simple. Put your trust in me. Put on that yoke of salvation. The second yoke is a little bit harder. There are many of us that we say we're saved, and we are saved. But the second yoke is a little harder of a yoke to swallow sometimes. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And many of you will recognize this yoke right away. But this is the yoke of separation. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14. Very familiar passage for most of you. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, notice these words right here, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is with you. God is with each and every one of us. If you put on the yoke of salvation, God right here is saying, now put on the yoke of separation. Put on the yoke of separation. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them. Who's that them there? It's talking about the world. Come out from among the world and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's time that we as Christians, we look at our yoke of salvation, and we glorify God in that. But not only do we do that, we also take the yoke of separation, and we come out from among them and be separate. So many times we as Christians, all we do is we thank God for the salvation, but then when it comes to separation, we say, well, a little bit's okay. Well, a little bit of the world's okay. Well, God says, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. God says, take my yoke of separation. Don't be unequally yoked. Many of us, you see, and this was another message I was working on, but we're not going to go too far into it, but another message I was working on was talking about what's controlling your life. And you see, you either have a yoke of separation or you have a yoke with the world today. You can't have, you have some type of a yoke in your life. Something is driving you forward. Nobody is on their own. Nobody just goes through life on your own. You either have that yoke of Christ with you or you have a yoke of the world with you. Maybe you look at your life today and you're like, you know what? There are some things that I know I shouldn't be doing that I'm doing them. Well, right now you're being unequally yoked. You've got God, you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, and you're doing things that the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do that. And that's an unequal yoke because you're yoking with the world. You're trying to get your work done with the world, and that doesn't work. It won't work when you do that. The Bible says in Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two people walk together unless they be agreed? You can't have fellowship with God and with the devil at the same time. You can't be fellowship. It's not like you just sit around and have coffee and you say, well, what do you think, God? Oh, this is what I think, God. What do you think, devil? Well, let's go together. No, you can't walk two in arm in arm. You can't be unequally yoked. If you're saved and you've got the Holy Spirit with you, you're dragging that Holy Spirit along, kicking and screaming with your conscience telling you, hey, don't do that, and yet you do it anyway. Hey, don't do that, and yet we do it anyway. Or the Holy Spirit's dragging along, and he's saying, hey, look, you know, instead of doing that, you should be going soul winning. Oh, but I want to do this instead. All right, the Holy Spirit has to go with you, though. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together the yoke of separation. There are so many of us today that we're constantly struggling, and we put on that yoke of the world. And you wonder why you go through your everyday frowning. You wonder why you go through life dragging. You wonder why you go through life feeling like, oh, is it Friday yet? Friday, why? Because it's the weekend. I just can't stand it anymore. Well, why is that? Maybe you got too much of the world in you. Because God says, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when you have God's yoke on you, you will find rest. Rest. If you're constantly feeling dragged down all the time, maybe it's time that you inspect which yoke you have on. Maybe it's time that you take a look and see, how am I actually working? Am I actually working in my power, or am I trying to work in God's power? Maybe I'm yoked up with the world, and that's what's dragging me down. Maybe it's time you look to see what you're yoking up with. You know, what are you combining your life with? Are you constantly combining your life with the world? Obviously, we're in the world. We have to communicate with people. You know, I got to be honest. I had a customer of mine the other day that I heard that they got off a bus and they were cussing and screaming about me. Interesting. So I called them and I asked them. I said, is it true that you've been cussing and screaming about me? And they're like, oh, you heard about that? And I'm like, well, yeah. They're like, well, I know it wasn't your fault. I know, but I've had a bad day. I'm like, well, you know, maybe you could take your bad day out on the devil or something, you know. You don't have to take it out and cuss and scream and all that kind of stuff just because you've had a bad day. But, you know, we're in the world. We're going to hear bad things. We're going to go out and about. We're going to see things that we wish we hadn't seen. We're going to be in our everyday life coming across people that drag us down, that are negative. We're going to have that in our life, but the Bible says, take my yoke upon you. You know, if that's all you're trying to do is you're just trying to get through life and you're just trying to say, you know what, I'm just gonna, whatever comes across my way, I'm just gonna let it affect me. That's an easy way to just always be down. But instead, take my yoke upon you, God says. Take my yoke upon you. Work with me. Combine your life with my life, and you'll have rest. The yoke of separation. Number three, I want to talk to you about the yoke of service. John chapter number 6. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter number 6. Now, at this point, I have to apologize to my senior saints group, because I've just been so excited about this passage that it's been, I don't know, it's like I wanted to preach on this tonight, but then I was like, well, if I preach on this tonight, they're going to be like, Brother Dave, you preached on that Thursday. And, you know, I can't do that. So I had to find a way to slip it in because I think it's awesome. All right, so we were reading about this in Senior Saints the other day. It's John chapter number 6, and we're not going to go through the whole story. I'm going to take you to verse number 15. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. This is after all of the feeding of the 5,000 took place. Verse number 15, it happens right after this. Jesus has finished preaching. They've gathered up all of the food that was left over. Verse 15, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. The disciples, and when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And look at verse number 21, because it's so awesome. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and the word right there, I love this word, and we were talking about it Thursday. Immediately, the Bible says, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. That is so cool. And I'd never seen it before. I was reading this the other day, and I saw that immediately. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. They're in the middle of the sea, rowing their hearts out, working their hardest to get to the other side. And all of a sudden, they look out there, and they see this spirit walking on the water, which had to be the creepiest thing in the world, right? And it's probably getting a little dark outside. They see the spirit. And then the spirit starts talking to them. And they realize it's not a spirit. And it says, it is I, be not afraid. And so they said, oh, it's Jesus. No worries. You know, it's just Jesus walking on the water. No big deal, right? He's done that many times. And then the Bible says they received him into the ship. And immediately they were there. So they're working, rowing, and then they let Jesus on the ship, and boom, they're where they're supposed to be. Awesome. They didn't have to row anymore. It was like, you know, it's like if I wanted to get all the way to the back, I'd have to walk all the way back there. But if I had Jesus by my side, poof, I'd be there. That would be so cool. I wouldn't have to exercise anymore. Right? You'd just be like, I'm going to be skinny. Poof, I'm skinny. Immediately. You know, you're like working on your year-long diet or something, and it's like you're halfway through 6 months, and you're like, I've only lost 2 pounds, and poof, I let Jesus in immediately. I'm skinny. No, maybe not that, but you know, this is so cool because, you know, right here in the Bible, I was talking to senior citizens with that, or senior saints, we don't say citizens, right? But senior saints, you know, we were having a good time Thursday, and we were talking about how, you know, they're right there, they're working, and they're rowing, and they're rowing, and they're rowing, and then they let Jesus into their life, and poof, they're where they're supposed to be. And they did all that work like they were supposed to do, and then Jesus did the rest. Awesome. Because immediately they were on the other side. That's what the Bible says. You can blame the Bible. You can blame God. That's what it happened. Because that's what the Bible says. I think that is just so cool. Because you're like looking at that and you think in your own life, God has a yoke. And it's called the yoke of service. Each and every one of us do things. We're busy. We're a busy church. We've had a very busy year. We've had remodeling. We've had put things up, tear things down. Move from one classroom to another classroom, tear the classrooms down, put them back up, tear them down again. Have a fair ministry, get everything ready for the fair ministry. Tear it up, tear it down. Have VBS the next week, put everything up, tear it all down. Do all of that, you know, everything going on. You have the shepherds every week. They go out, they go over there, they put everything up, then they tear it down. Wednesday nights when we were meeting over in the gym, the kids, we'd have to put all the chairs up and then tear all the chairs down. And it was busy. And we're a busy church. We've got a lot going on. And in case you haven't noticed, we are a busy church. And if you don't think that we're a busy church, then I've got a few things for you to do. And I can find you ways that you can think that this is a busy church. So if you're not busy, then come see me. I'll be happy to help you out with being a little busier. But we're busy, and we have things going on. And each and every one of you, you're busy in your everyday life, too. You see, we look at church a lot of times. You know, preacher, he looks at church as the most important thing that he has going on. But, you know, church doesn't pay my bills, so I have to work, too. And I have work that I've got to do. And each and every one of you, you have jobs that you do. And you go to your job. I don't know how many hours a day you work. You know, maybe you're putting in 8 hours a day. Maybe you're doing 10. Maybe you're doing 12-hour shifts. You know, but you've got work. And you've got stuff you have to do. And you've got houses. I've got a house. At my house, there's stuff I have to do with it. Every now and then I clean it. Not very often because you don't want it to get too clean. Then people will steal stuff. But, you know, just kidding. Kind of. I don't really clean my house very much. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you've got work that you got to do, and there's stuff you have to get done, and things bombard you every day. You're like, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do this. And sometimes you get to the point where you're like, oh, how am I ever going to get all this done? And then all of a sudden, boom, it just gets done. And you're like, oh, VBS is over. Did you guys know VBS is over? Right? You know, I was, you know, Thursday night after it was about 11:30, I think, when we left here from cleaning everything up. And as I was locking everything up and I was exiting, I looked around and I thought, where's everybody at? Everybody's gone. VBS is done. You know, there's nothing else to do. And then the very next day, I had to drive to Indianapolis. And it was like, but VBS was done. And it all happened, and I don't know how it all happened, except for God. And the reason is because you take God's yoke of service, And you stop trying to do everything on your own. You stop trying to work on your own. You stop trying to, well, I just need to push harder. I just need to push myself harder. And yes, you do need to push yourself harder. Yes, you do need to make sure that you're doing everything you can do. But at the same time, God says, take my yoke upon you. Because in that yoke, you're hooked up to the yoke right next to God. And you're working and you're working and you're like, a lot of times we look around like we're working on our own, but we need to realize that when we have the yoke of service on us, we're working right next to God. And God can just, poof, make it happen. Now, you notice that the disciples had to row first before God, poof, immediately. Because it wasn't like the disciples were just sitting on the shore saying, Jesus isn't here yet. We can wait a few more minutes. You know, the disciples weren't sitting there on the shoreline. Now, according to our event list, we're supposed to be on the other side in Capernaum tomorrow. Jesus isn't here yet. I guess we should just wait for him. No, the disciples didn't wait for Jesus. Jesus had left. Jesus had gone off into the mountain to pray and be alone. And the disciples, the Bible says, they got in the boat like they were supposed to do and started heading towards the next meeting place. And they did what they were supposed to do, and they were in the middle of the sea. They had rowed. The Bible says 20 to 30 furlongs, which I didn't look all that up. But if you look at the sea that they were in, it's right about 13 miles wide, I believe it was, when I looked it up. So my guess is they were about halfway through, something like that. And so they worked. And then, poof, immediately. I like that word, poof, poof. Immediately, the Bible says. And there's a yoke of service that God wants us to put on. That yoke of service, we look at it in our life and you think so many times it's like, oh, I'm just tired. Well, it's time to put on the yoke of service. God says that then you will have rest when you take on his yoke. The last yoke I want to talk about is a difficult yoke to think about. It's a tough one, but that's the yoke of suffering. And if you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 is the yoke of suffering. Probably one of the, beside Jesus, one of the best persons to talk about suffering is Paul. Job would be another good one. But Paul, he really talks about it in here. Let's look at verse now, chapter 11, verse 23. The Bible says this: are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. That's a tough one right there, false brethren, the people that are your brothers. Falsely, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. That's Paul writing there, and he's talking about all the problems that he's gone through. And you know, you gotta wonder, he probably had more that he didn't list. You know, this was just, he's kind of off the top of his head. Oh, yeah, I had 40 stripes, save one. Oh, yeah, I drowned. You know, oh, yeah, I did this. Oh, yeah, I was beaten. Oh, yeah, stoned. I forgot about that one. Oh, yeah, you know. And he's writing it all down. And, yeah, I had this. Oh, yeah, I had that one guy talk bad about me. I had that one guy who was spitting at me. Oh, my false brethren. And he's writing all these downs. And, you know, then you look at chapter number 12, verse number 7. The Bible says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for me, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You look here at Paul, and what's Paul saying here? He's saying, I took on the yoke of suffering. He's saying, not so that everybody can look at me and see what a good guy I am, but rather, he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You see, we all have problems in our life. We all have suffering. We all have feelings of emptiness. We all have people that tear us to shreds. We all have days where it just seems nothing goes right. We all have sometimes months where nothing goes right. We all have those times when it seems like everything that can break down breaks down. We all have times where we have difficulties, where people pass away, where friends, loved ones go off. You know, it's been a hard time the past couple of weeks because the college students are moving. You know, I'm going to miss Darren. And, you know, there's a lot of other college students that I miss. But, you know, you look around and you're like, oh, I'm going to miss that person. They're going off to college. And you look at all those things that they if you start thinking about it, you can get depressed. You can get tired. You can get worried. You can get, wow, suffering, hard persecutions, tough times. But Paul said, I don't go through all these things so that you can look at me and glory in me, but rather so that you can see my weakness and realize how strong God is. You see, because in our weakness, in our frail, human, sinful nature bodies, Jesus Christ is perfect. And Jesus Christ is our strength. Because when we yoke up with Christ, when we put that yoke on, we're going forward and we're not really doing anything. You know, it's kind of like he's doing all of it and we're just along for the ride. Because God, you know, honestly, God doesn't need me. God could put anybody behind a pulpit and have them preach. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. But he lets us serve. He lets us, through our weakness, make him strong. And, you know, the Bible says he must increase and I must decrease. You look at your life, and when you're looking at the fact that, you know, there's no reason why we should even be allowed to serve him, our sinful person, who we are, the wickedness that we have in our body, who we are, wickedness. There's no reason that we should be even allowed to even come before his presence, and yet he commands us to come boldly to his throne to talk to him. And there's no reason why God, in all of his great and infinite wisdom and power, should ever even let us even grace his work. And yet he says, take my yoke upon you and work with me. Work with me. Learn of me. Learn how to do it. Learn how to be perfect. Learn how to be a good Christian. Learn how to be a good servant. Learn how to do this. Watch me. Jesus Christ, you know, God, he says, you know, take my yoke and watch. Watch how I can do this. Because in all of your suffering, in all of your trials, in all of your hard times, every time you get through it, Every time you are with me at the end of it and you still believe in God and you're just like Job and you said, I will not curse God and die. I will remain faithful to God. And you're just like those people in Hebrews chapter 11 that goes through and it just talks about all the things the Bible says out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And you know, all those things, you look at all of the problems that go through when you're through it. Then the whole world sees Jesus Christ. Amen. They don't see David Rogers. They don't see you. They see Jesus Christ. They don't see the problem you went through, and they don't say, oh, wow, look at David Rogers. He was able to go through that because David Rogers is awesome. Oh, no, David Rogers isn't awesome. They look at David Rogers, and they say, he was able to go through that because of Christ. He was able to do that because of Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. And you see, we need to take on the yoke of suffering. It's not fun. Nobody ever said that the Christian life will always be fun. I talked to a student that back when I was teaching, he had graduated and gone off, and he said to me, Brother Rogers, why don't you preach more about how hard it'll be when you become an adult? I said, well, we did. He said, well, you made it seem like Christian life was just always fun. I'm like, it is fun, but you're going to have hard times too. It's not all fun. You're not always going to be happy. You're not always just going to be, oh, you know, everything's fine, because it's not. Sometimes you go home and you cry. You know, sometimes you're just so burdened for people that you see them going the wrong way and you're like, I love them so much, but there's nothing I can do. And it hurts you, and it hurts your heart, and it does, and I told this young man, I'm like, look, that Christian life is all about Jesus Christ. It's not all about me. It's not all about me always having a good day. It's not always all about me having a perfect life. It's not all about me getting rich. It's not all about this, me. No, it's all about Christ. It's all about seeing people saved. It's all about looking at each and every one of you and trying to make a difference, not so that people will say, look at David Rogers, but so that people will say, look at what Christ has done. Put on the yoke of suffering. We have four yokes here: the yoke of salvation, the yoke of separation, the yoke of service, and the yoke of suffering. I don't know what you're going through in your Christian life today. Maybe you're having a tough time. And you're like, you know what? I do need to put that yoke. I need to combine my life with God because I'm going through suffering. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, you know, Brother Dave, I haven't really been full force working with God. I've been kind of trying to do it on my own, or I've just been lazy. But it's time that I put on that yoke of service and I work with God. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you say, you know what, Brother Dave, I'm not separated like I should be. There's items in my life that I know that I'm doing wrong, that I need to get those right. Well, it's time to put on that yoke of separation. It's time that you look at your life and say, look, God, what is it you would have me do with my life? Not what is it that the world should have me do. Most importantly, let me say this, though. Maybe you haven't put on that yoke of salvation. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, Brother Dave, I'm trying to get to heaven on my own. You can't do it. There's only one way to get to heaven. And that's by joining with Jesus Christ and saying, look, Jesus, I can't get there on my own. Will you take me there? Maybe you're sitting here and you say, Brother Dave, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I'd like to know that. Tonight is the night for you to take that yoke of salvation and say, you know what? God, I want to go to heaven with you. I want to be there when I die. I want to be in heaven. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.